Good morning. It's a privilege to be able to be before you this morning. Unworthy is probably the better term for it, but just would hope that there's something of eternal value that we talk about this morning. Last year, when there was Shepherd's Conference going on, Paul Washer was one of the speakers. And during the message, he was talking about prayer, and he was encouraging prayer, and then he got on prayer meetings, and he was encouraging about that, and that's important to me. And so he got done with, I got through the message, because I don't listen to them live. I always go back to the conference after they post it, and I was like, oh, I got to find this message that he's talking about that he wants to share with everybody. And so I looked around, figured it was on one of his YouTubes or it would be out there somewhere. I couldn't find it. So I dug around and I was able to find the church that his ministry is located at and email there. And so I emailed him, and Mr. Washer said, well, I'm working on a study that's going to include a chapter on prayer, and he gave me a sneak preview of it. And that was pretty cool. It's still not out, but when it does get there, I will let you know that. But I want to share something out of what he's written so far, and I don't know if he's revised it, so it might not be exact when the study is released. But listen to what he says here. Prayer may be the most neglected private and corporate discipline in the church. This is particularly disturbing in the light of what Jesus told religious leaders in his day. My house shall be called a house of prayer. Matthew 21:13, Isaiah 56:6-7. If an individual believer and the church collectively are walking in spiritual insight and power necessary to glorify God, this vital aspect, corporate worship, must be restored. Like preaching, prayer is not a spectator sport. It's an activity in which the entire congregation is to participate in, whether leading vocally or praying silently together. What a great challenge that is to us. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is prayer, individually and corporately. We'll do something a little bit differently. I'm going to do a survey. If you guys know what a survey is, it's like going over the top of something at a high altitude and just picking out some things that hopefully stimulate you to go and study it out in a more depth way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, and we know from Scripture, because of the many times that you bring up prayer, that it is vital. We see it in Jesus' life, the importance of it. Father, I would ask that as we're going through this survey of prayer, Lord, that it would help us to really search our own hearts in our lives and see where are we at with prayer. Does it line up with the example we see with Jesus? Does it line up with your scripture? Father, I know that as I've been preparing and going over this, that there's been a lot of conviction that has continued right up even to this very moment. So important that we continue to grow in our relationship with you, and much of that relationship is through your word and through prayer. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start with a few quotes that range from the early 1700s all the way up to today. This one by Murray. The congregation without prayer meeting is essentially defective in its organization, and it must be limited and is limited in its effectiveness. Washer wrote this at a different time. I've never met an old saint that regretted spending too much time in prayer, but I've met a lot of them that have regretted too little time in prayer. Billy Graham at the end of his life with a Larry King interview, and I'm sure many of you have heard this, but tell me, King asked him, what's one thing that you regret? And he said, I regret not praying more. I would have prayed more and preached less. John Owen, great Puritan, if we do not abide in prayer, we're going to abide in temptations. Ravenhill, who has some masterpieces on prayer, great, great stuff to read. No man is greater than his prayer life. Failing here will fail everywhere else in our Christian life. The Prince of Preachers, Spurgeon, has lots of messages on prayer. You can go get on YouTube. They are really good. One of them is called True Prayer. It's a message from Mark 11:24. It's from August of 1860, still applicable for today. One of the sure evidences of being a Christian is one's heavenly great luxury is prayer. What makes you cease praying is of the devil. And then later he said, the very suggestion that you go without prayer is from below. Oof, that one hurt. When I started, just stopped and thought about that, and I thought about the times I didn't pray. For instance, this morning we brought up David, right? Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, and Father, talk about a couple that's special. Father, David and Joanne have impacted my life greatly as they've prayed for myself, my family, the race ministry. Lord, I pray right now for the doctors, nurses, and those that will be the medical staff that's going to work with them tomorrow. I pray that you guide them, but more than that, I pray that you would have their hearts open and prepared to hear about you. I come confidently before you, knowing that you're going to have David speak to them of eternal value. May there be a point of salvation even tomorrow in the hospital with one of that medical team. Guide their hands, and would you heal David, quickly be it your will. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to do some of that where we just stop and pray. That's one of the things I love about Jean-Paul, is just you never know when he was going to break out, when he is going to break out in prayer. Brother Lawrence said this, two simple prayers are enough to carry us around. Thank God, and Lord, have mercy on me. From Roses, Volume 3, I know that Lowell loves those books, and I like them just as much as he, well, probably not quite as much, but I do enjoy them. They have a section in the third volume that's on prayer, and it says, at its base, prayer is talking with God. We can pray alone, in groups, silently, out loud. Using a written prayer is spontaneous. But to be in prayer is more than just speaking words. Scripture's portrayal of the life of prayer is continuous, meaning it's kind of open-ended towards God in all that we do. It's listening to God. Our entire lives should be prayers to God, exhibiting the praise and the love of our Creator and Savior. One more quote that I want to read, and it's a man named Dickerson, and he says about prayer meeting, and the title of the message, I haven't listened to all of the message, but the title of the message is Prayer Meeting, Reclaiming It and Renaming It. I didn't get the renaming it until I've read this like seven times, okay? So I'll explain it so you don't have to think quite as hard as I did about it. Prayer meeting is the most neglected meeting in the church today. I can prove it. Just look around at today's churches and see how many have prayer meetings. Many churches could accurately refer to their weekly prayer meeting. Okay, that was weekly, not in 7 days, but as in strength. Weekly. Hear that again? Weekly prayer meeting. However, we must remember that prayer meeting was the birthplace of the early church, Acts 1:14. Prayer meetings were key to the elements of the first great awakening, centerpieces of the revivals, prayer revivals of 1857 and 58. Historically, it's been prayer meeting that fuels the flames of evangelism, missions, revival, spiritual awakening. Proving his point is when you go back and you look at the story is of Moody and the two ladies that sat out front, only two people that would listen to him, and look at what happened in Moody's life and in the work that he surrendered to the Lord. We look at Spurgeon. There's a story about him having a bunch of American kids come from one of the seminaries in the U.S., and they come to him, come in the door of the church. He doesn't identify himself, and he goes, I want to take you down to the powerhouse of the church. And he walks them downstairs, and the kids are going, what in the world do we care about this? We just want to meet this guy. We just want to be in his presence. And he walks down, and he opens up, he says, the boiler room. And there are 700 people praying. And he says, this is the heart of the ministry God's given to me. Whew. Think about the haystacker and the prayer meetings there that birthed great revivals. Enough about some stories. Let's get into the Word. And like I said, we're going to do survey, and so there's going to be a lot of Scripture. And if you don't keep up with the Scripture that we do, I've got them. Just ask me afterwards, and we can get you those Scriptures. I want to start with this verse here, 1 Chronicles 16:29. And some of these I'm going to go kind of quickly, and so you might not be able to turn to them, but it's going to be a really good sword exercise for some of you that like those kind of challenges. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in holy array. Out of Scripture, there are many places that are grand prayers, and this is one of them that I keep before myself quite often and just pray through. So we think about praying through Scripture, something like this. We could pray, Lord, I really do truly ascribe glory to you in your name. Father, I want to worship you. Father, I would pray that right now you would be exalted in praise and that others would see the worship and ascribe the glory that's due to you. Open the eyes of those, even within my family, that don't know what real worship, what salvation is. I think about my brother and my sister both not knowing you. Open their eyes, Lord, that they too would be able to enjoy exalting you as we see in this grand verse. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So what did Jesus have to say about prayer? How important was prayer to him? Well, we see a lot of Scripture that we can refer to. And let's start with a verse that we already mentioned once already, but Matthew 21:12-13. And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all those who were buying and selling in the temple and overturned the tables of money changers and seats of those who were selling doves. And he said to them, it's written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. But you've turned it into a den of robbers, a cave of robbers. That's repeated three different times, so we know that it's very important for us, don't we? It's tied to a couple of verses in the Old Testament. We see Isaiah 56:7, and it says, even those I will pray on my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. And then in Jeremiah 7:11 it says, has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your sight? Behold, I have seen it, declares the Lord. You know, when we look at our body right here, one of the measures of if we're being a faithful and a trustworthy, a godly church, a biblical church, is where's our prayer ministry at? And we have some wonderful opportunities, and we'll talk about some of those, but what a great thing it is to think about and how important of a measure it is. Jesus talks about this out of Matthew 17:21. It's cross-referenced in Mark 9:29 also. Can't wait till we get to that point, and Michael expands on this verse, but he says this, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. He said to them, this kind cannot come out by anything but prayer. God knows that it's important that we come before him and that we're praying. We all know that one of the things that the disciples came before him and said was to teach us how to pray. It's one of the things, it's really the only thing that the disciples asked directly about that we see in Scripture. We know that there's a lot more of them, but out of Luke 11:1-4, we'll read those verses here. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as Jesus taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we have forgiven everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. We've all heard messages on this, and I'll just remind you of a few things out of this. As I said, we're just doing a survey, so we're going really high above this. Father, so the first thing that we talk about is we're going before God himself, our Father, our Heavenly Father. Then it's the word hallowed. That's sanctified, set apart. It's to be holy. Be your name. So important that as we think about just that opening piece right there, how do we use God's name? When we go to prayer, is it to the Father that we're praying? Is it to God? Because we see examples of prayer to Jesus, and we see the Holy Spirit and the importance. We're going to see a couple of those verses. Your kingdom come. So the question is, do I get my way? Or does he get his way? What are we really searching? Are we praying, God, give me this? Are we demanding from him? Or are we actually asking? Are we asking for his will to be done? This morning, as we prayed for Nate, that was one of the things we prayed. We wanted his will. We want God's will to be done. And then I prayed selfishly, Lord, my will, my request would be that you would heal him. And heal him right now. You could show glory of yourself to have him walk in the door right now, pronouncing the glory of God. But I know also that we see Paul, who suffered with something that he prayed to be healed for years and years. But a lifetime was spent asking God and dealing with what it was he dealt with. Give us each day our daily bread. That's a wants versus need prayer right there. For ourselves are forgiven, everyone who's indebted in us. And right there, what a great place to just ask God, am I praying for forgiveness for myself and others, or is there a bitterness? And what a mark of salvation this kind of prayer is. Lead us not into temptation. Men, I'm talking to you right now, every day, day in, day out, pray that God protects your house and make sure you're the guy guarding the door of what you're letting into your home. Notice that. Lead us, not into temptation. And so we're praying for protection over our marriages, over our families. Hope we pray that over our church. Another example of Jesus as he's praying, and we see this out of Matthew 15:36. He took the 7 loaves and the fish, and he gave thanks. He broke them and started giving them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. And what happened there? He got them all back, right? Just for his own glory right there. But notice a couple of things that we see here, that Jesus took very little and he gave thanks for them, and then he broke them up so that all would have some. Isn't it amazing that we get to have God's word right before us? The other thing that I see out of here is how Jesus prays, and obviously we're talking about Jesus, about God right here, but he prays expectantly. One of the things I love about Ted Pastor is how he prays expectantly. That's something I'm not good at. I wrestle with it, and I don't know if it's a doubt thing or confidence in the Lord, what the Lord's going to do, or if it's a theological wrestling that I get into of, is this really God's will or not? Should I really pray it or should I not? But it is neat to see Ted pray expectantly, and then the so many times that he comes back and will give us what the answer to that prayer was. Another one of the great examples we see of Jesus and out of the New Testament is out of Matthew 19. Out of Matthew 19:13, we're just going to read a couple of these verses here. 19:13 says, "Then the children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray." What a blessing that is to pray over our children, isn't it? The disciples rebuked the people. Ooh, hopefully I never end up on that side where, yeah. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and went away. What a great prayer that is. Mom and Dad, I hope you're praying over your kids. I mean, being intentional to pray over them. Some of you, I know, we were given 16 things to pray over your children, and this is many, many, many years ago, and how we can be intentional to pray for them. It's vital. It's also vital, as I see this, as I look at Jesus praying over these kids. These kids got exposed to prayer. Pure, beautiful, wonderful prayer. And on Sundays, we meet over here at 4 o'clock. And we get thrilled when families bring their little ones and not so little ones in with us to pray. That's just super encouraging to us. And so I would just ask that you really think about that. What a powerful thing that is. And we see right here is the example of it, of Jesus calling those little ones to himself. Philippians 4:4-7. Another great example of prayer. And there's lots of different words that are in Scripture that use prayer, but listen to this. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known among all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So when are we supposed to be praying? Boy, I got more people echo back to me at the funeral I did Friday, and they weren't even believers. All the time, right? All the time. Look at what some of the important things out of here. If we want to be near to God, we're going to be praying. If we want to be anxious about nothing, we're going to be praying. We're going to get back to that one. We're to be praying about everything. I can remember, Chuck, you telling us a story about the lady in the shoes. Just praying for the importance of shoes, you know. How often do I do that before I go into the store? Say, Lord, do I really need these or do I just want these? Ouch. We really are supposed to be praying about everything. Remind you of the last part of this passage again, which suppresses all comprehension. All guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. We'll guard your hearts and minds. If we want that guarded family that we just talked about, that marriage, we're going to be in prayer. And our minds themselves. Next thing that we'll turn to is out of Colossians. And most of these verses we know we've thought about, but it's good to put them together and really, hopefully, we get back to them and just think through all of these things. Colossians 4:2, continue steadfastly in prayer. Other translations say, devote yourself to prayer. Devote. Put that in the back of your head. We're going to hit that maybe one or two times. That could be something God says is important because he repeats it a bunch of times. And any time that God repeats, he's kind of trying to get our attention on it, at least my attention. I'm grateful that he repeats. Listen to that again. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Devote yourself to prayer. Keep alert. Have an attitude of thanksgiving. Such a great evidence right there. Where is my prayer life? What would my prayer life show as an evidence to my salvation? Next, we'll look at out of Ephesians. And we look at the armor of God. It's something that we should be dealing with every day, right? Did you walk out this morning without praying? Seriously. I know that I can do that on a Sunday morning. Not even come and pray about coming here, pray for myself, you know. Whoa, wait a minute. How often do we stop on Sunday morning and pray for Michael or Josiah or John or whoever's going to be up here, the ones that are leading Sunday school. Sunday school itself, praying over those little ones and those not so little ones. So important. We see as we work through the armor of God, we see the importance of God's word, and then we see the importance of prayer. It reads like this, with all prayer and petition, praying at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, with this in mind, be alert, persevere, petition for all the saints. What a great thing to be praying there. We think about our missionaries we're blessed to be involved with. What a great thing it is for us to be involved with them and be able to pray and lift them up. Heavenly Father, I would pray right now, and I pray, Lord, that you would remind us how vital it is that we're placing the armor of God on. We just spoke about Sundays, but I'm reminded right now how easily it is to get up in the morning and just get going, whether it's going to school, whether it's going to the gym, whether it's going to work. Lord, forgive me for the way too often times I can just jump out and be thinking about all kinds of other things other than praying and having the armor God on, starting with prayer in your word every morning. Lord, I pray that you'd convict me when I fall short and don't start my day that way. Father, how grand it is that if we're praying all day long, that we start and we finish our day in prayer. Help that to be more of the life that I live out before you. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verses 10 through 13 read like this. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation. And here we go again. Devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. That was such a great passage, Lo, that you encouraged us to memorize through. Just this section alone is a great challenge, at least to me, to live out daily. Twice here it talks about devoted to prayer. It's a great verse for us to just really, really dive into and to live out. We're to be devoted to prayer in the morning, in the evening, in the afternoon, all throughout the day. We're to pray alone. We're to pray together. I really encourage you to pray together. I'm grateful we have many opportunities for that. Prayer is much listening and waiting. It's probably the hardest. Well, no. It's one of the hard things with prayer is that it really is a waiting game. God's most frequent answer to me is not yes and it's not no, although I get those. It's wait. And that is just tough to do. But he's got our best interests in it. Chuck would remind us that his prayer time included singing. For some of you, that might be where it is. But I would encourage you to pray scripture. You know, sometimes I can go, like I've said, I wonder if this is a selfish prayer or not. You know, am I looking out for myself or am I looking out with what God says? But if I'm praying scripture, I can know the words are a lot closer to being correct than when I'm speaking my own words. Prayer's got to be humble. It's got to come from a heart that's humble and contrite. Little book of Jude has a bunch of nuggets in them. One of the nuggets is out of verse 20. It says, but you, beloved, build yourself up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. What a great verse that is. Build yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying. Part of our walk of being with Christ, our walk of salvation, is being faithful in prayer. And we need to be praying in the Holy Spirit, and that can be a dangerous subject because people have taken that praying in the Holy Spirit in different ways, and it's worth an entire study And I'm not going to dig out a bunch of things other than the fact that I'm going to say to you, the Holy Spirit seals us and guides us and guards us, and he does direct our prayer. We just need to be very careful with that and how we take that, and I'll let you study that out. Let's go back to that Philippians verse. I'm going to catch one more thing out of there. We'll stop and listen to this verse. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Again, we're reminded in that great verse that it's God that we're praying to. But he says there, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Whoa, wait, what was before that? I forgot. I gotta look at that again. Be anxious for nothing. Heavenly Father, I'm maybe not the only one that deals with being anxious and worrying. Lord, I confess that too often I'll spend a whole night worrying and being up. And there are times that I would say that I make that time fruitful by just getting into your word and praying, or just spending that time that night in prayer. But too often I just spent that night worrying, being awake. Lord, forgive me and help me to live this verse out, that I'm praying about everything and coming before you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Out of 1 Chronicles, we see this. 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 11. See a great song of thanksgiving by David. I would say that it's a prayer. Let's back up. I know this is a survey, but let's back up a little bit. O God, thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continuously. One of the great things about prayer is just being in the presence of the Lord. It's something that it's mind-boggling to think about. We're allowed to be in the presence of the Lord. His broken souls, it's so neat. Look at that word seek. What do you think of when you think about seek? I think about going after a treasure, working hard to get after a goal, being intentional at discovering something, putting some effort into it. Prayer is effort. There's a lot to praying and praying continuously. It doesn't come easily. And I think that that's one of the things that I look at with the prayer meeting. It's a great thing that we see those examples. We're going to catch just a few books right now. We're going to look at James, Acts, and Mark. And we're going to quickly go through some verses. I spent some time just reading James, a chapter a day for 6 months. I encourage you to do that. Every book of the Bible is rich. But listen to some of these verses out of James that speak about prayer. Let's start with this one. Chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. If any of you lack, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him who asks in faith, no doubting, no one doubts, is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the winds. We see here that we should be asking for wisdom. It's a great prayer for us. Let's take a look at chapter 4, verse 3. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. There's a great example of what not to be praying. Is for our own comfort, our own satisfaction. Too often I can catch myself praying for my health and my comfort, and that's just not a good thing to be doing. Not that praying for our health is wrong, because we see that. We see scripture that talks about praying for our health, and we should, but it should always be crouched in God, Lord, might it be your will. I want your will to be done. And I got to say, we've got some great examples of people that have dealt with things for years in this fellowship, and some we don't even see because they just have the peace of God in their walk with Christ. Another example that we see in James is out of chapter 5, verse 16. And these verses of prayer, we really should have framed in context because they could be taken out of context, and we don't want to do that. And so hopefully you're thinking and you'll go and see the context of these verses as you study them through this week. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person has great power as it is working. So there we see the importance of, several things there, but for praying for one another, I hope that we're doing that, you're doing that. Again, I'll encourage you that we have prayer meeting at 4 o'clock. It's for all ages. We invite you there. Now, Lisa was, as I asked some people that come to prayer, meaning some of their thoughts, and one of the things that Lisa reminded me in this was that if you're scared of praying out loud, come to prayer meeting. We don't call on you. Oh, Kim, you're going to pray now. You know, I mean, if you want to be there and be in silence, that's a great ministry right there, because we're confident that as you come there, you're going to pray throughout the week for those things that we've lifted up, those things we've given thanks to. And so don't let that be one of the hindrances. We see in that verse that we're to be confessing sins. There should be such unity in this fellowship that I can come to any one of you and confess sin. Now, again, we're going to frame we have to be careful in that. We're not going to give high details in most cases. We're not going to do it because it can be done in a prideful way. We have to be careful with that. But we see, I mean, this is pretty direct. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. It just tells us how important it is that we're together and praying. And we have a lot of great opportunities for that. We have the opportunity before we come into service, we get together and we pray for the time, service time. We get the opportunity, the ladies get together every other Tuesday. Part of their ministry is prayer. As we start to get these guys' groups together, we're going to have an opportunity to be praying for each other. Like I said, on the Sunday afternoons, the leadership really of this church, I hope it is encouraging you to be intentional at being together and praying for one another. And we would pray like it says in Philemon 21. You can look that up and see what it says. A sneak preview is that I'm confident that you're going to do this. We also see the importance there that we don't just talk about praying, we don't just study about it. There's some great prayer materials. I want to mention just a couple of those. Like I said, there's a bunch of Spurgeon sermons from way back. I just listened to two really good messages on the Grace Community Church website. One called Why Pray by Jay Linnington, and then another one that was How Should We Pray? And those messages, well, I can give you the dates if you want them. But there's lots of great books on prayer. Yesterday I listened to Steve Lawson, The Sovereignty of God. It was on YouTube. It's worth the listening to. Let's go to Acts. We have just a few more minutes that I want to cover, just a couple more verses. And then we're going to spend a few minutes in Sunday school talking about a couple more things out of the messages. We're getting kind of, we're getting to the time we need to close. But let's think about these verses here. Out of Acts 1:14, we mentioned it earlier. All these in one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Again, we see in Scripture prayer in groups, together. Just think about that. I want to talk to the young people now. Adults, you can turn on, tune out. You can draw for a moment. I want to talk to you young people, okay? You young people are some of the greatest faithful people that there can be. If you're willing to devote yourself to the Lord, his word, and to prayer, he can do things that some of us old geezers are never going to see happen. I'm talking to the young people here. Pray. Be intentional. Come to the prayer meeting and see some great saints pray. Your mom and dad, grab that idea. See what they're praying about. See how they're praying. See the scriptures they turn to and pray. Okay, adults, come on back with me. Set the example. Set the example for them. Let's take a look at what the early church did with prayer. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Great 4-week sermon right there to break down each one of those four things. Michael said I couldn't go till 3 o'clock. So you guys can find some studies on that and dig that out. But let's stop at just one small, it's not small, it's grand point there. They devoted themselves. We see the early church was devoted to prayer and devoted to each other. So if we really, Cindy asked me, are you going to do a message on love? It's Valentine's Day. I said, no. So I decided, well, we'll mention love a couple times. So I got it covered, right? So being a guy, I've got it covered. So, but if we really, we say that we love each other, right? So if we really love each other, we're going to be praying for each other. And we need to be praying for each other. Heavenly Father, I come before you, and Lord, we need to be praying together. I would ask that we would be like this early church that we're seeing in Acts. Those two examples alone, they were together and they were praying together. Lord, it's so easy for me to have an excuse not to get here to pray, or not to be with a friend, or not to make that phone call, and not say, oh, I'm going to pray for you, but no, stop and pray for that person right there. Lord, help us to be those known for praying serious, real, true prayer lifted up before you. Let's catch a couple more verses out of Acts. Out of chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place of which they were gathered was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Do you have a fear of going up to somebody and sharing the gospel with them? Is it hard for you, even within your family, to have the boldness that you want to have? What did that verse just say? Yep, we should be praying, right? And that is so vital in our wait, in our witness. Again, we can see there that they gathered together. There are nights that when we're in prayer meeting, that's all we do is we just get a list of people that we're wanting to see come to know Jesus. We just pray for those people by name. We do all kinds of different things there. I do want to, well, we'll save that. Let's look at Acts 6:4. But we will devote ourselves to prayer in the ministry of the word. Again, we're seeing two things tied together. The word of God and prayer. It's vital for each and every one of us. As a family, the family that we are right here of DEC, we should want to gather together and pray. And so I hope that that's what you see out of this message. You guys know that I love stats, statistical stuff. So just to emphasize, we really do need to wrap up. We'll continue on the last couple thoughts in Sunday school if you'd like to join us. Here's how I know that God takes prayer seriously. Okay, so there's a bunch of words that can be used for prayer. We've seen a bunch of them, ask, seek. But let's narrow the gap down to just the word pray, prayers, praying, prayers, and praise. God talks about prayer 109 times. 112 times, sorry. Pray, just the word pray, 109 times. Prayers, 27 times. Praying, 35 times. And praise, 5 times. And so you have just south of 300 times. Do you think that prayer is important to God? Yeah, it is. And so when we look at that and we look at the book of Mark, we're going to run into those words, those five words, we're going to run into about 10 times. And there are spectacular teachings around each one of them, and I can't wait for us to get to them and pause and really think about them. I want to remind us of where we started. And that was Mark 11:17 echoes the Matthew verse. And it says this. And he began to teach and said to them, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations." He ends that with, "But you've made it a den of robbers." I would hope that we wouldn't be what it speaks of at the end of that verse, but what it talks about at the beginning, that we'd be known as a house of prayer. I would pray that we'd be known so much that there would be those that aren't here today, like our neighbors, like our family members, like people we work and play around, that would know if they have a need, which they do, that they would be coming here because they know that we're a group of people that will earnestly and seriously pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, and as I work through this message, there was a lot of things that you encouraged me with. There was probably more so that you brought to my attention and said, maybe you ought to think about this some more. Maybe you should be doing a little bit more doing than studying. Lord, forgive me that I can sometimes be thrilled at listening to a message by another man on prayer rather than spending that time in prayer. Lord, help us to be doers when it comes to prayer. Lord, I'd pray that you would rearrange my schedule and that prayer would become a priority. I would pray that you'd rearrange my schedule and remind me to rearrange it as names escaping me right now, encourage that we would take and make sure our day timer had times blocked for our marriage, for our kids, for our family and others. But at the top of that list would be times with you, and not times always filled with me, with us talking, praying, but times in silence, just waiting and seeing what is brought to mind. Lord, help us to be satisfied with your answer of no and wait as much as we are satisfied with your answer of yes. Lord, prayer is for both the young and the not so young. So I pray that as I challenge these young people this morning, that they would take serious and that they would devote their lives to prayer. Lord, there are some in our fellowship that are bound basically to a bed or to a chair. What great ministry they can have just to be about prayer. Remember Chuck telling us about one that was housebound but had just prayer requests everywhere, and she devoted her life to that. Lord, help me to yearn to pray, and when I skip out on prayer, that you'd convict me. Lord, burden my heart with others. Lord, might our prayer be intentional and focused on you and worshiping you. Much of Scripture, when we see prayer like we saw in Chronicles, is just expressing the amazing worship worth of you, exalting and glorifying you. May it be a focus. May you use it. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.